Welcome to the AFL Ratings Podcast. We speak to Aaron Bryan tonight. He takes us through Port Adelaide and Melbourne from Saturday night. We also talk notable fantasy players from round three. This podcast was recorded on March 31, 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Make necessary adjustments as news comes to hand. Enjoy the pod. Okay, so let's welcome in Aaron Bryan. So we've got one game to go on Monday, Geelong and Hawthorn, but round three wrap at this stage. And you did the Port Adelaide-Melbourne game on Saturday night. Melbourne just too strong for Port Adelaide in the end, but it was an arm wrestle for a long time.
Yeah, that was a really weird game. Like, it was a single-digit result in the end between the D's and the Power, but ultimately Port Adelaide kind of dominated all the main statistics, and it felt like, in terms of individual performances, they probably had more stars shine, but Melbourne shared the load a little bit better. So kind of the top four clash we're almost anticipating, and I know a lot of Port Adelaide fans will be a bit unsure about where they sit after beating West Coast and Richmond and then falling short against Melbourne, but I think clearly both sides showcased that they can play that finals brand of footy. It was just highly contested, a bit scrappy throughout the night. But yeah, we've got little glimpses of what could possibly come in September. And I think if it all boils down to it, it was just Melbourne being a little bit cleaner. Port Adelaide still probably are struggling a bit with their efficiency in front of goal. They gave away some really silly free kicks across the night, largely because of their forward pressure, which you do want, but you've got to be a bit smart about it. And then Max Gawn in the middle. I think Ivan Saito actually did a pretty good job around the grounds, but you give up 50 hit outs, it's always a bit difficult. So, yeah, it was a really odd game to call in the sense that it never felt like either side were really dominating the other. We kind of had these flows of momentum, 2 to 3 goals, and then it'd swing the other way. So just neck and neck all night. And in the end, the Demons were just a little bit better in the clutch.
Yeah, 66 inside 50s for Port Adelaide, plus 21 differential there. So dominated stack of ball inside 50.
Yeah, and this is, I guess, the problem they've had over the past couple of weeks is just their inefficiency. So I think they kicked 38 behinds heading into last night's match, and then you add another 11 on top of that from their 24 scoring shots. So, you know, they are ruining some missed chances. Defensively, it's weird. The three-headed kind of monster that is Zerk Thatcher, Radiglia and Aaliyah, they all seem to be playing pretty well, and their one-on-ones, they're actually not giving up a lot. But because they play such a high press to lock the ball in and force those repeated entries, when teams get over the back of them, they do get exposed a little bit. And Ben Brown and Bailey Fritch had some really big nights. So Neil Bullen, even to a sense, was getting around the ground of that half-forward area and really impacting some scoring opportunities. So they probably just need to have a look at their structures a little more in terms of that how high up the wall actually is. Because Melbourne, yeah, certainly found some loopholes of getting around their structures.
You mentioned Max Gawn earlier. So 50 hit-outs contributed to a massive game from him, 20 disposals there as well. But, yeah, pretty much dominant in the ruck for Melbourne, and a huge goal at three-quarter time there as well.
Yeah, I think most sides will find that if you've got, you know, a Riley O'Brien or a Sean Darcy, Tim English, when they're matched up against Ivan Soldo, they're probably going to win a ton of hit-outs because he just isn't a traditional track tap ruckman. He's more around the grounds. He impacts contest and certainly gets involved in terms of scoring opportunities. And Max Gawn, to his credit as well, obviously loves to win his own footy and takes some really strong marks. But they didn't put any work into him, which we will see on and off across the year, that team to try and bully Max and certainly you know, rough him up a little bit around stoppages, it can impact his influence on a contest. And Port Adelaide decided to let him go and play their own brand. And I guess, yeah, statistically, in terms of the clearances, it didn't hurt them that much. But yeah, he when he's left to his own devices, he's going to end up best on ground. And that's exactly what he did.
Port Adelaide and Melbourne fantasy wrap here. So again, Gawn won 46 points, was dominant there. Willem Drew has been pretty good in the midfield for Port Adelaide, 104 points. Conor Rosie got there in the end for 99 points, and Clayton Oliver dealing with a finger injury, he got to 94 points in the end.
Yeah, so the Gawn one, he's just had a massive year, hasn't he? If you exclude the round zero score, you know, 137, 107, and now 146. It's absolutely massive. And I guess the awkward decision now is he's got a fortnight more of football before his bye. So do you try to get him if you don't own him, or do you just wait a couple more weeks as his price continues to skyrocket? That's going to be a really difficult decision, because I think end game now is going to be English and Gawn as your top two rucks, which a lot of people probably thought at the start of the year, but certainly locked in now. The Willem Drew one's quite interesting because obviously historically he's played as a little bit more of a stopper in his run with roles, and Ken Hinckley's kind of released the shackles a little bit this year. So he did match up on all three of Oliver Viney and Petrarca across the night, but he's been given a little bit more free rein to actually win his own ball and race towards half forward and set up scoring opportunities. And he's cashing in on that. You know, he's had consecutive hundreds now, and he probably wouldn't have had three. He was so close in the West Coast game. So he's actually become a really viable option, if not more than Ollie Wines, which is a bit of a shock in a sense, considering that we were expecting, with all the noise that Ken Hinckley had said through the year, that Ollie was going to step back up to his best. So he had the most CBAs on the ground. He's had plenty of them over the last couple of weeks, and certainly the absence of Jason Horne-Francis has helped that. But I think Ollie Wines is a bit of a bust in terms of what we were hoping for. Like he scored all right with an 88, but Willem Drew seems to be the one who's certainly leapfrogged him in terms of that pecking order if you're looking for a mid-priced power player. So yeah, he was very impressive. The Melbourne midfielders, as you might have mentioned, you know, Oliver, Viney, Petrarca, historically they don't actually score very well on Port Adelaide. They've always had their lowest disposal averages, and it was certainly that again tonight where they shared the load a little bit, and as a result, no one kind of had massive scores. But clearly Oliver's, you know, back to his best football despite the missed preseason. So hopefully he just continues to build into the year, and eventually he's going to bottom out in terms of his price, and he'll be a really good upgrade option. And Petrarca and Viney have just continued to deliver for those who started with them. So I wouldn't be too fussed, even though they haven't tonned this weekend. They're certainly looking the goods.
Round three notable fantasy scores here. So we'll go back to a Thursday night. Lockie Neal, rolled ankle there, but still got to 118 points.
Yeah, I was still a little bit concerned about Lachie Neale in the sense that Brisbane is so reliant on him, and when he doesn't get the job done, they lose. You know, they need Neale to kind of have 25 touches every week, and that's going to draw some attention. I think he's got a pretty good run from here, though, with, you know, North Melbourne. Melbourne won't put a tag on him, and Geelong will let him run free as well. So next few weeks do look good for him. Obviously, he's had his bye as well, so he's a handy little target. So I don't mind the investment of him. He's going to lose a little bit of money because of that poor opening round score. But yeah, it sounds like the ankle's okay. So not the end of the world there. That mid kind of 800 mark is a little bit awkward. I don't think there's any urgent moves required to get to him, but certainly one to watch, I guess, as we go through the year.
On Friday, it was Harry Sheezel. So he scores 126 points, and he's had a fantastic start to the season.
Yeah, amazing. Just continues to take kickouts. But on top of that, he's moving all around the ground. There was times I saw him in the forward 50, floating through the midfield as well, and becoming a realistic kind of loophole option. I still don't trust North Melbourne enough to ever straight out captain him, but he probably was the right call on Friday night, considering how many star players were playing around him. He was, yeah, a good gamble for those who jumped on him against Carlton. So just backing up another a really solid year. And I'm just not sure where North Melbourne go from here, which is probably good for Harry in a sense, because Tom Powell settled in quite well in that midfield. So if you've got Powell, LDU, and Wardlaw, McKercher and Sheezel kind of can keep their halfback roles and, you know, take those kickouts, easy plus sixes, and they'll just continue to dominate in terms of scoring, which is, you know, great for fantasy owners.
On Friday night, it was Hayden Young, 129 points, and that's his new elite level. And Caleb Sarong continues his good form, 118 points.
Yeah, the other one I'll throw in there is Jordan Clark, who's just had consistent 90s and looks like a really promising option. The Hayden Young one, I think people were hanging out, and unfortunately there'd be a lot of coaches who would have moved him this week, but he finally kind of gets that full midfield injection that we were waiting for. I wonder if that's because they've had the last, you know, the injuries the last couple of weeks, and now it seems to be settled a little bit. So the 129 is great, considering, yeah, where we were expecting him to be, how he played through the off season. So his tackle numbers are good. He was getting a lot of uncontested marks, which Adelaide did kind of allow. They're not great at defending the corridor, and Fremantle certainly cashed in on that. Caleb Sarong had a really slow start. I think he was on 11 at quarter time, and then bounced back. So I had him as the captain, and I was a little bit worried as to how it would go. But he's had a very reliable start. I think even against North Melbourne, he was a little slow early and then pushed his way to 125. So he's probably one of the top tier players in the competition. If you say him and Tom Green, I reckon are the two kind of number one midfield targets right now. And his price will continue to surge away. And yeah, the Jordan Clark one is one that I do quite like, and Hayden Young to an extent as well, considering that Nick Daicos's buy is coming up and he's, you know, losing a fair bit of cash. And he may get the Finn McGuinness tag next week with Hawthorn as well. Maybe this is the week to move him down to one of those Dockers defenders.
On Saturday, Essendon St Kilda, and it was a fantasy feast. So Nick Martin, halfback, doesn't get any tag whatsoever. The Saints just let him go, 145 points. Rolly Bonner gets off the chain for the Saints out of D50, and Nasir Wenganee Milarra was a little bit quiet. quieter. So Bonner gets 127 points. Jack Steele was solid through that midfield, especially after a week dealing with illness. So 124 points for Steele. And Rowan Marshall, as solid as ever. Pretty decent matchup, 117 points.
Yeah, really high marking game. So the Nick Martin one's a funny old one, as you said, like no attention paid to him whatsoever. And we saw this in the preseason, how high his ceiling can be when that is the case, because he's taking kickouts, but he's also racing off halfback. He's that outside runner through the midfield. He's going to get DPP because I think it was 70% of his possessions were in the back half. So it's going to happen come round six, which is quite exciting, which is why I think coaches do need to start getting on him over the next few weeks. Port, the Bulldogs and the Crows coming up. So that Bulldogs-Crows fortnight is going to be really enticing for him. Yeah, 145 is ridiculous. And I think he tied the record for most touches in Essendon history. So, yeah, he's a massive target to get. Riley Bonner at the other end, a similar role, which was why he had such a high score. But I'm not sure you can rely on it. Like, obviously, for his score, he's been massive this year in terms of his for his price, he's been massive this year, averaging 96. Like, huge congratulations to everyone that started with him. Ross Lyon was filthy with how he actually played because a lot of those touches were intercepts or soft possessions. So I'm not sure if that role's, you know, going to last. And it did impact Wanganeen Malira, who, as you touched on, I think he's kind of their barometer for St Kilda at times. His run off halfback really gets their game going, and he was quite, you know, disappointing over the weekend. So I think they'd want to rely on Nesiah more than they do Riley. So, you know, don't expect 100 every week from Riley Bonner. He's going to have his highs and lows, but for his price, he's been amazing. And I think Wanganeen Malira will bounce back from this.
And one game on the Sunday we'll talk about, and that's just finished for us. And that's Tim Taranto, 132 points. A couple of injuries out of that Richmond midfield. So he gets to work as the main ball winner inside that Tiger midfield. Again, 132 points. And Isaac Kenny, again, 127 points. What an outstanding start to his season.
Yeah, amazing. I'm a little interested to see how next week goes now that Taylor Adams has played a game in the VFL, and we've still got Callum Mills to come later in the year and Luke Parker. So there's a lot of questions around that Swans midfield, but let's just ride the wave for now with Isaac Kenny because he's just been so impressive. And I just can't see a scenario where John Longmire moves him out of there because it's, you know, it's been so good for Sydney. I know they lost today against the Tigers, but it's not his fault. He's been amazing. The Taranto one's quite interesting because Richmond's game has been a little all over the shop in the first few weeks as they, you know, settle into the new coaching style and get some of the kids involved. And I think for Tim, he just looked a little slow in the first few rounds, whether that was an attitudinal thing, you know, the state of the side, the poor disposal, which impacts marks as well. And he had six of them today. Clearly the effort was back, you know, right around the guts, plenty of tackles, huge possessions. Good sign for the fantasy overs in the sense that he's pretty much bottomed out now. His break even was 133 and he pulled to 132. The downside is it's really awkward timing. I think a lot were hoping that he'd continue to plummet a little bit more until his bye, which is still 2 weeks away. But he's got the Saints and the Eagles in the next two, and Marcus Windhager's just been suspended. So I think the next 2 weeks are going to be some pretty decent scores for old Tim. But you don't really want to get on him with that bye coming up. So I think we're just going to have to hope he doesn't jump back anywhere near. I mean, he's not going to get back to the million price he was at the start of the year, but you know, you don't want him to go like mid-900s because then it's a little awkward to get back on, considering you were hoping to get on around the 800 mark. So hopefully the next couple of weeks aren't too damaging because it's just a poor timing for him to pull a 132 out of his hat.
We've got Gather Round coming up for you this week. And where can the listeners find you on socials and also on radio? And a bit of a sort of preview to the Gather Round, if you can.
Yeah, it's a massive week. I'm really excited for it. A little bit different to last year in the sense that there's only the one doubleheader at the Adelaide Ovals. We're going to the regions a little bit more with a couple of games in Mount Barker and Norwood. But I'm anticipating a really exciting weekend. Last year was an absolute blast, a lot of fun, but there was you know, a little bit of chaos to it, which I think will be cleaned up a little bit this year. So we're going to have a little bit more of an understanding of what to expect, and the crowds will likely be better as a result of that, especially with the lack of a doubleheader. So should be a really good weekend. You can find me at Aaron Bryans on Twitter. I'll be all over the shop this next week if you want to hear any of the games that I'm calling. So I think I'm on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday midday for Frio Carlton and Sunday for Richmond St Kilda at Norwood. So busy week coming up, but we'll have every game live for you on the ABC Listen app if you do want to hear it, and on ABC Radio around the country.
You can find me at AFL Ratings Pete on Twitter or X, however you want to describe it these days. AFLratings.com.au for a stack of fantasy information. AFL Ratings, Twitter and X for the main account there. Well, Aaron, enjoy your week. Enjoy Gather Round, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Pete.